sideways. Do a little bit. Come on. You don't want to go with me? Haley, can you do it? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Woo! Perfect. Thank you, Lord. Don't let that get old. Don't let that get old. I've listened to that 100 times, and I do it because I want to be reminded. That's me singing that song, in case y'all want to know. I remind myself daily, and I think that's good for all of us to do, what God thinks about us. Okay. I'm going to have to remind you of something. I like that music. I am a warrior at heart. And I want music that makes me feel like one. So I've got a lot of that kind of music that I listen to, but I do not look for me in the music. You understand? I'm not out here fantasizing, saying, oh, I could be on that stage, or I could sing. Bologna sausage. Enjoy somebody else. But when I was laying on that beach and God said, play it again, I played it again, and he said, now I want to show you. Remember what I told you? This is what the world hears when you get up and you begin to start to walk. Now, the world is everything. Do you see that in me? Well, I don't. So therefore, I have to listen to it over and over and be reminded of what God said to me. And I'm playing it for you, not because I can enjoy it, because I can enjoy it before and after church. I want you to see yourself. See, God doesn't tell me secrets and not you. He doesn't see me one way and you another. Okay? He doesn't give us little secrets to make us alone feel good. This isn't the way it works. And so I do that not because I want a rocky intro. I want you to feel what God feels. Does all music belong to Him? Does all music belong? Then He can assign it to anybody He wants to, right? If He can use a lot of the weirdos that are out there right now trying to produce music, to let them produce music, then we can take it back. Okay? So, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's practice. Let's don't get so religious that if the music doesn't sound exactly like it's supposed to, we won't listen to it, because you're gonna cut yourself out of a lot of blessings. Do you remember a while back I told you about a testimony from Elton John? Did anybody get that and listen to the words? You need to remember something. All music belongs to God. It is not His fault that some people misuse it, but there's a song called Goodbye Yellow Brick Road that put Elton John on the map. And one day, by God's leading, I listen to music, I don't listen to words. I may listen to a song 20 times before I ever hear the first word, because the Spirit's in the music. Right? Isn't that what we just enjoyed? The Spirit in the music? Because half of what she's saying, I didn't understand. I didn't care. The music was being lifted up to God, and those words were exalting God. That's all I care about. Anyway, in there, he tells you that he made a decision to turn away from the yellow brick road and go back to the farm. He'd made a spiritual and mental physical decision to turn away from all the gold and glitter and all of that and go back to the farm. That was his decision, and he didn't stick by it. And it'll cost him eternally. Eternally will it cost him. It's degraded him. Well, he's got money. So what? God's got all the money. I don't care how much Elton John has. I've watched some backstage stuff from him, and he didn't enjoy any of it. I want to enjoy God. Then he can bless me with whatever he's got for me. Amen? The decision is what God looks for. It's a serious thing. A decision is a covenant. Did you know that? A decision is a covenant with God. I don't care what the decision is. I'm going to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night. When you speak it out, it is now becoming a covenant. God is the witness. Why are you saying that, Stan? So I want you to understand the power of your words. Your words. You can heal yourself with your words. You can direct yourself with your words. And even if you don't believe them, you keep saying them and you will. That's why your words need to be directed by God. Make a decision based on that. All right. Let's pray. Father, we have already given the time to you. We remind you again, this is yours. We are yours. The word is yours. Use us. Use the word. Use this time as you will. But most of all, we dedicate it, sanctify it for your kingdom, for your honor, and for your glory. Change us into your likeness and image tonight. We'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I said something Sunday morning about her, about Susie. What did I say? See, it wasn't important to you, was it? What was it then? Yeah, that so, I don't like some of your ways, and I'm sure you wouldn't like some of mine. Isn't that pretty standard with people? And I want to make sure that I don't get religious in that, okay? I'm not trying to say that my ways are better than yours, because when I sat back down, God began to minister to me about that. That's what I just said. And in that ministry to me about what I had said, he said, you don't even understand her. That's true. I'm not required to. In fact, it's better if I don't. I have hard enough time understanding me. But you know what makes Susie, Susie? She stands up here and she talks about her past like it's nearly, I don't want to talk about it too much. But what God was sharing with me is Susie wouldn't be Susie without that. And so I'm going to be careful here. I want you to be careful with your understanding. If your past made you who you are today, do you disdain your past? Should I? So if I decide to judge you, what I'm doing is I'm calling what God has done in your past wrong. Therefore, I'm calling God wrong. Because just like anything that is tempered and formed, manufactured, it has to go through certain processes to accomplish the thing that it was built to do. And you can't disdain mine. I can't disdain mine. Sometimes you get embarrassed. I have a very good background. My parents were good. My life was good. I was good and bad, just like all of us. But what I didn't do is drugs and alcohol and stealing and lying and cheating. I was taught not to do that. And so guess what? I didn't experience that. Who do you think would be the most effective minister? The one that had never experienced that or the one that has? Can I shake your apple cart just a little bit? Who would be the most effective marriage counselor? One that's been through a divorce or one that hasn't? Because you see, if you've gone through a divorce or you've gone through a separation of some type, there are some things that if I haven't gone through that, I can't speak to. Only by believing the Holy Spirit can I speak to it. And that's going to be a miracle for you. But I promise you, everybody in here has got a history, and not one person should say, I'm ashamed of the history. Well, you don't know my history. Let's keep it that way. Just don't be ashamed of it. Just because you're quiet about something doesn't mean you're ashamed. It might mean it's none of your business. And if you weren't my friend, I wouldn't tell you that much. I want to share that God shared with me that. I thought, what did I just say? Why did I say that? And God said, this is why. Now you can explain it. For those people that were here Sunday, not here Wednesday, they missed. No. No, then that would be judging, wouldn't it? I want to finish what I started last Wednesday night. So to do that, I need to make a quick review so that it'll remind you what we talked about last Wednesday night. Do you remember I confessed to you so that I could be healed? That's what the Scripture says. Confess your sins, one of you might be healed. How many of you took that serious and confessed something this week? Did you? Praise God, you're bolder than most. Most people, I don't have anything to confess. Oh, yeah, you do. The Scripture wouldn't be in there. I explained to you about that pain that I went through and that I gave it excuses and reasons, even caught myself trying to do that again today and slapped my hand in my mouth. Not going to do that. I told you what I did wrong. Do you remember what I did wrong? Let me read it to you right quick. I did not attack the attack properly. You understand that everything that doesn't sound like God, feel like God, is an attack of the enemy. How much was it? Everything that's not that God wouldn't do to you is an attack of the enemy. Now, if you know a God that likes to slap you around, beat you up, and see you suffer, I need to introduce you to the real God. I didn't handle the attack properly and in order. I should have caught it early. I should have spoken to it quickly and not argued with it. If you've spoken to the problem, whatever the problem is, pain, sickness, disease, lack, you speak to it, but you never argue with it. When you say, get out of my way, don't say it three times. Or you didn't mean what you said. I made excuses because it was old injuries. There's all kinds of reasons why you ought to fail. Not one of them are God. I sought some outside pain relief. You do what you will. I'm not allowed to. I've already been told. Okay? I waited until the pain went away before I said, thank you, God. Did you hear what I said? The best way for pains and attacks to go away is put your what? Put your hands up and your eyes up and say, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, King of kings, Lord of lords, the one who has already healed me. And it is, man, there's no better medicine than that. The point we started last Wednesday night was this. I don't believe that God wants us to spend our time fighting. And if I handle it properly, I won't have to. Well, you still have to fight that. No, I'm going to tell you what. You fight the good fight of faith. Don't throw anything at me and don't take any accusations. But to fight the good fight of faith, you do in an immature state, not a mature state. A mature state, walking in, living in Christ Jesus is, it's not real. You have a smile on your face. You don't get upset and worry. You don't go screaming and yelling. When you know something, you don't have to prove it. When you're the boss, you don't have to prove it. And God has given you dominion. Do I need to take you back to Genesis and show you that? He didn't wait till the middle of the book. He didn't even wait till the New Testament. He did that first rattle out of the box. I give you dominion. Every advertisement that you see on television offering you a drug comes with a tale about this long of the dangers. You laugh at them. You take this medicine because you don't want this pain, but you may die. Or your babies may be warped, or you may not live another 5 years. There are all kinds of things on that. And you're going, this is an advertisement? It's the truth. Somebody made them tell the truth. I think I'll take my chances with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to be able to fight until we don't have to fight anymore, until we just learn to stand. When you learn to stand, then you need to learn to stand with a smile on your face, because now you're standing in joy and peace. All of these are progressions, and what we need is a goal to aim at. I think God's walking through. I know God's walking me through this, and I'm going to get there. My wife, she's still listening. I'll remind you. Today, she got upset about some figures that weren't exactly. They were changing, and they weren't supposed to change in the computer. And man, she got hostile. Take it. Show me the papers. Well, you did something wrong. See, I'm a genius. I'll tell you. You did something wrong. Well, now let's look at this. If you take it from this column and you take it from, if it goes into this column, then when you take it back and put it over here, it's going to equal out, right? I'm a genius. Well, what do you want me to do? I said, in the morning when you're fresh, I want you to go back in there and find out where you pushed the wrong key. We're going home. And she was giving me these excuses, reasons, whatever you want to call them, like we all do. And I said, do you want me to respond to that? She'd say something else. And I said, do you want me to respond to that? She said something else, and I said, you don't want me to respond to this. She didn't listen, so I raised my voice. I said, don't offer me another apple. Don't you offer me another apple. I'm not taking it. I'm going to stay at peace here. You're not going to get me. You can get upset all you want to, and I'm not getting upset. Now, to me, I wasn't upset. But I was making a point. Why would you do that? Well, sometimes I have to yell at me because I don't listen. Sometimes I raise my voice to you because you don't listen. Right? Sometimes God has to raise His voice when I don't listen. I am not... You understand the apple, right? Eve took the apple to Adam and said, like a bite? Adam should have said, no way. Is that correct? He didn't, and he paid for it. We've paid for it. I'm not taking the apple. What's the apple to you and me? That's an invitation to lose your joy and your peace. That's an invitation to hurt. It's an invitation to suffer. Don't take a bite. God's not offering it to you. He offered you the garden. Don't eat your way out of it. We've got to live at peace. I'm going to tell you this. I've told several people, in fact, just before this church, a church in Denver that would call me in, and I had to speak this to them. Our tendency is that when we want to fight, we get upset. We get upset and then we fight. And you'll always lose when you do that. You'll always lose if you get upset. You'll say things you didn't mean. You'll do things you didn't want to do. So the best fight is the one where, okay, let's fight. How can you fight against that? No, I'm not going there. No, my mind's made up. Well, this is the warfare we have to do in the Spirit. You're going to be offered pain. You're going to be offered these things. And you have to learn to be at peace. Don't get upset. Don't get worried. Say, I'm not taking that. It's not mine. Return to sender. Amen? We, number one, God recreated something that was without form and void. And when He had done that, He rested in His Sabbath rest. Y'all remember that? I'm going to keep saying it until you do. He rested. The difference is, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. His Sabbath is not over yet. We haven't even hit the 7,000th year yet. I don't care what your scientists tell you here, I'm telling you the truth. When Jesus returned to recreate that thing that had become without form and void, which is you and me, He did it. And on the cross, when it was completed, He said, it is finished. Where did He go? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Where? In the Sabbath rest. That's why I told you the other day, don't be trying to get God to do something for you. And don't ask Jesus to do something for you. They've done it. And they're resting. And all they're asking you is, come into my rest. How do you do that? Take dominion? That's what the Bible says. You just take dominion and you'll live in His rest. You'll be at the right hand of Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, on and in the Sabbath rest. How do you do that? Don't get upset. That's not easy for me to say, by the way. I nearly enjoy getting upset once in a while. It just kind of gets everything going good. If we're going to win every fight, we're going to rest our way through it. The ones we lose, we're going to find out, is the ones we fight. I truly believe this. I believe that if the enemy can cause you to fight a sickness every day, he's got you exactly where he wants you. You're so preoccupied with praying about you getting over whatever you think is yours that you can never look down the road and see the healing and start praying for somebody else, start believing, start teaching, whatever it takes to get you to go forward. So when the pain is offered to you, say, no, thank you. In fact, forget the thank you, no. Well, it still hurts. Shut up. Shut up. What are you going to do? Magnify the pain? If nothing else, throw your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I'm healed. I don't know what this is about, but it don't affect me. I'm perfect. I've been touched by the perfect one. I've never had God touch me with an imperfect anything in my entire life. God told me that the day in the hot tub, just plain as all get out. I was having this little, I don't know what it was. Don't even care. It's not even important. But I said, I am perfect in my body. I am perfect in my mind. I'm perfect inside and out. And God said, well, you should be. The perfect one touched you. And He don't know how to touch imperfectly. I'm going, oh, I thank you, Jesus. Well, do you feel perfect? Shut up. Do you go by feelings or fact? Just quote a fact. Don't quote a feeling. The Word of God, they're facts. They don't argue. If you are in the Word, if the Word is in you, out of the abundance of your heart is going to be the Word. Not, I knew I was going to get sick. Man, I shook hands with that. And I sat there and they coughed on me. Oh, come on. You've heard them all. I didn't get a flu shot. Maybe that's the reason you won't get sick. It takes a man to figure out, the way that I get over flu is take a little dose of flu. That's the world's wisdom. Get sick just for a little bit rather than a long time. Why don't I just not participate? No, I don't want a hole in my arm. And no, I don't want the flu, so I don't take either one. Well, Stan, when's the last time you went to the doctor? I was 16. God is faithful. He's faithful. I'll tell you what's available. I had a guy come in today. I hadn't seen him in a while. I said, where you been? Man, I spent 3 months in the hospital. They call that miraculous. What happened? Well, I started climbing up the side of my truck and my knee blew out. And the enemy said, see, that can happen anytime to anybody. No. That's not true. Does that sound like truth to you? You better be stronger than that or you got it coming. That is not the truth. God didn't say, when you get about, let's see, what was this guy? Maybe about 55, you can't trust your knees anymore. Isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible promises you, when you get old, not one part of your bodily function will go away. Now, which is truth? Choose you this day. You decide what's truth. I could tell you more than that, and I'd embarrass the fire out of you, but I won't do that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I don't know if you've got one up there for me. Yeah. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does the lust of the flesh, what does it bring about? Everything except the Spirit. In other words, everything that does not pertain to life and godliness. That's what your flesh wants. You know your flesh wants to die, don't you? You didn't talk to me. Do you know your flesh wants to die? You have to override its wanter. It came from dirt. It wants to go back from dirt. It's a dirty outfit. And it will betray you if you don't have dominion over that dirt. Quit giving your body such a fancy place. It's dirt. Treat it like dirt. Cultivate it. Take care of it. Do what you need to do. But don't honor it. Don't give it place that takes place over word. I'm going to keep moving. In Luke chapter 22, I'm not going to read all of this. I'm just going to say this. Jesus was in the garden. He had to get it settled in his heart that he was going to the cross. What did he get settled? He didn't get settled the decision. The decision was made. He got settled his flesh not wanting to be there. Okay? Listen, I want to cover this for you. Verse 40, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Why do we pray? This is Jesus. Why do we pray? Well, I got to ask him. No. Jesus, how do we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Not hallowed be my pain's name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Well, is pain part of God's kingdom? Fear? Worry? No. So thy kingdom come. Jesus said, left with his disciples, that's me and you, stay here and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. Fear, worry, temptation. And he was withdrawn from them, but I still was throwing him down and prayed, Father, if you can take this cup from me, do that. But, nevertheless, not my will but thine. See, the decision's backed up with another word. Okay. The angel came and strengthened him. He was in agony. He sweat great drops of blood. Who did? Jesus' body. Are you hearing me? He sweat great drops of blood. Not the spirit man. The spirit man was winning the fight with the flesh. The flesh was getting beat up and it was bleeding. Don't you think that you can't fight with your flesh and win? You can whip that flesh like crazy. There's your example. You can squeeze the blood out of it if you want to. You just hang in there with your decision, I'm going to serve God no matter what. Let your flesh sweat. Just don't put up with it too long. He rose. He found them sleeping from sorrow. They wore themselves out worrying about something they had no control over. He rose. He walked in there and said, rise, get up, lest you enter into temptation. Twice. How do we move from the fight to the rest? Well, I've already covered a little bit, but let's read Scripture. Mark 11, one of my favorite scriptures and passages in the world. Mark 11, let's start with chapter 20, verse 20. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. I got it here. All right, now let's remember this. This is my Lord. I don't know if he's yours or not, but this is my Lord. He's walking out through the fields. He doesn't even own a field, by the way. You remember that? He was even a property owner. He was walking out through there. And there was a fig tree that was not supposed to be producing fruit. It was out of season. It wasn't his fig tree. but he was hungry and he wanted figs. And when he passed by that, that thing didn't have figs, so he said, "You're cursed." "Whoa, that's not my Jesus." "Well, you trade yours in. Let's get the real one. Let's get the real one. That fig tree, you didn't do what I wanted to. You didn't provide for me. Do you understand that everything on this earth is built to provide for you? That's why God built it that way. And when it's not, curse it. Why? So a new one can take its place that will work for you. Whatever's not working in your life, curse that thing at the roots. Don't argue with it." He didn't say that 4, 5, 6 times. He said it in passing and walked on. They turned around and came back. When they came back, the next day, by the way, which is not possible for a fig tree to dry up in one day. The next day he came back and the disciples were going, "Whoa, what is this about?" And this is where it starts. "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree," or the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, teacher," teach me how to do that. That's what he wants to say, teach me how to do that. "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "What's your problem?" Let me ad lib a little bit. Do you know why it's that way? "Because I have faith in God." Wait a minute. God didn't say that. Who said it? A man like you and I. A Jesus, a man like you and I, had every feeling like you and I. And he said, and he says, "Trust God." Trusting to what? Back up what you say. What? Nowhere in the Bible can you say one of the 11th commandments is curse the fig tree. It's not written in there, but Jesus did it. He said, "You're cursed." Jesus said, "Have faith in God." Are you hearing what I'm telling you? He trusted God to back up his words, to back them up, without even any spiritual or scriptural basis. Just trust God. Come on. A man like you and I, have faith in God. And I am so sure, I will say for assuredly, I say it to you. Whoever says to this mountain. Now what did Jesus just do? He was speaking of an impossible situation. Number one, you can't wither a fig tree over in one day, not from the roots. Number two, now we're moving a mountain. So Jesus is not going to talk to them in these simple problems that you and I have. He wants us to treat them like they're nothing. And let's trust God when we're speaking the impossible. Otherwise, we walk in peace, we walk in joy, total confidence that what we say is working. Whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed and cast into the sea." Don't be moved an inch, thrown into the sea. And does not doubt. Do you know where most of your doubt comes from? "Well, the pastor's been teaching every Sunday, I'm not worthy. Because unforgiveness, because you understand." Or, who do you think you are? Susie, you can't talk to the mountain. Have you checked your past? "Yeah, that's why I can talk to this mountain. I have. I'm tougher than that mountain. I proved it." Whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed and cast into the sea," does not doubt. Step one, you've got to speak to it. Step two, you can't doubt. Doubt what? Number one, that you spoke to it. You can't say, "I can't believe I did that." Shut up. Stick with your word. "I told you, mountain, to move, and I'm not doubting that you're not going to be here tomorrow." Step three, believe. Well, how long? Did it say how long before that mountain went into the sea? So how long are you going to believe? "I'm going to die believing. If I never see it." Who said I said it for me? I might have said it for the next generation. Who am I to be questioning God? I have faith in God. He's going to back up what I said. I don't have to understand it. I just have to believe that those things that he says, please, you timid bunch of people, me too, let's start saying a few more things. Because now we're on the second says. We've got two says, one doubt, don't doubt, and one believe. What he says will come to pass. He will have whatever he says. 3-1 so far. Now listen, I'm not going to just pick on the women, but I can pick a few that I know that they can talk a lot. In fact, it's hard to stop them from saying. Even shut up doesn't work. All I'm saying here is don't give up your say. Direct it. Wait till you have something to say. Say it, and then believe God is on your side. You'll have whatever He says. First, that was 23, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask. Now please, don't fall on your face and start praying. It's too late. You've already said it. Now just believe. See, you understand when I speak to the mountain, and my believer is believing it, I'm asking God to back up my word. That's what my faith is doing. I'm trusting you, God, to back up my word. Now, if it's His word you're quoting, you can trust Him to back up His. But He doesn't think it's wrong to back up yours. This is Jesus talking. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive. And now we know what we're believing for. I got it. That's what I'm believing. Once I say it, I believe I already got it. And you will have them. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Do you think He knew what He was doing? Do you think that Jesus knew what He was doing? Do you think that He was qualified to be called rabbi? Do you think that God backed up His words? Well, the proof was there. They just walked away from the fig tree. They had a lot of other proofs, but that was a quick one. Now, verse 25. Here's the key to make sure you rest in the fact that you can trust God about your words. Verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, oh my goodness, there goes the religion. Stand! I thought you got to get on your face and you got to whine and moan and yell and scream and kick for hours. When you stand praying, get off your knees. I can't use people on their knees. Get off your knees and stand up. Be a man. Be a woman. But man, let me stand. Let me see you stand. Stand praying if you have anything against anyone. Anything against anyone. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father may also forgive you your trespasses. Oh my goodness, here I am perfect and He's calling me a trespasser. Well, if you hold something against anything, I hate the rain. You're holding something against something. I know you don't understand what it is because you never thought about it, but don't hate. Forgive the rain. Let it go. It's God's gift. You're not going to stop it anyway. Just don't lose because you're trying to stop something you can't stop. Get out there. Get out on the beach and get out where you're on. Just enjoy the rain. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. If one hits you in the eye, say, I forgive you. Move on. Well, I'm trying to be a little silly here, but man, that's how we are with people. If I want my word to work, my word has to be free. Does that make sense? And if I'm not free, I'm in bondage. That means I'm trespassing against the blood of Jesus. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Okay. Is this complicated? Being tied with this scripture tells me that I'm not going to have what I say if I don't do what He says. It's that simple. Well, you know what old so-and-so did to me? You don't have any idea what he did to me. Perfect. Let's keep it that way. Then I won't have any problem forgiving him. But I forgive you for holding it against him. Now you need to forgive. The correct definition of this word forgive is to loose. It's loose. You can't forgive sins. You can't forgive trespasses. You can't do it because the debt's not, you don't own the debt. You don't own the debt. But you can give it to God. Cast all your cares on Him. Let Him care for you. That means if there's something here that I figure there's a debt, we'll give it to the one that's owed. It's not owed you. You just need to get your feelings out of the way and release them. Boom, let it go. Then what happens? Then I can have faith in God. Well, let me say it another way. If I can't trust God to take care of a problem person, then how can I say I have faith in God? So I've already missed the first step on getting my mountain moved. I haven't had faith in God. God said forgive. Well, God, I trust you. You're forgiven. And the minute you do that, there'll be a test. That person you hated wants to have dinner with you now. You're going to go, yeah. Wait a minute. You've had him in bondage. It's time to release him. So this dinner is not about you. It's about him. You let him set him free. Buy his dinner. And in your mind, tell the devil, you ain't going to stop me. Even if I got to pay for it, you're not going to stop me. I'm getting free and I'm setting that person free. By the way, I don't turn him totally free because no, I can't forgive him, therefore I can't free him. But I can free him in Christ Jesus. Here. I cast my cares. He's one of my cares. I cast. Now you're not my care anymore. When they look at me and say, I don't like you, I don't care. Nice. Thank you for being honest. Don't care much for you either because I released you. Amen? Anybody got mountains that need to be moved? Anybody have mountains? You're lying if you don't say yes. I forgive you, but you're still lying. You got some that need to be moved. We all do. I'm working on mine. You're working on yours. Let's make sure we know how. Speak to it. If you can't say anything else, but you're not my mountain, so be it. You'll get Christians. I want to testify. God has given me a mountain. Then don't move it. Cherish it. God has placed cancer on me. Well, don't pray for it. Embrace it. Ask for some more. Because God's gifts are good. That's what the Bible says. Please forgive that Christian that thinks they know what they're talking about and minister to them. I forgive you. Why? For accusing my God of giving you cancer. That's why. I hope he forgives you because he don't own any. Embrace. If you think it's from God, embrace it. If you don't, curse it. It's not for me. The UPS guy rings your doorbell, he brings a package. You look in there and your name's not there, so it's not for me. Don't open it and look at it. It's not for me. I don't care where it's from. Don't even look for the return address. If your name is not on there, send it back. That's the way the enemy comes. I come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's not for me. Jesus said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. Ah, that's my labor. That's mine. I got it. How do you know you got it? Because you say so. That's mine. That's not mine. A little immature statement that came with the charismatic movement was fantastic. And we've let it slip. That is, I don't receive that. Anybody in the charismatic movement? That was a fantastic thing. When the enemy comes, I don't receive that. David, you think you're the most beautiful person in the world. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. Then you're dumber than a post. I don't receive that. Then you look sick to me. I don't receive that. We have many opportunities in the day we can use that, and we ought to. Well, then you're going to get to a point where you can stop that I'm not receiving, start receiving. All right, I want to read it to you one more time because you need to hear it. I say to you, if Jesus were standing here physically tonight and God the Father beside him, do you think their statements to you would be any different than what that says? So this is a word from God. Even if this outfit is the one that's delivering it tonight, this is a word from God. You need to embrace it. Receive it. Your name is on it. For surely I say to you, have faith in God. First step, have faith in God. You know, if I have faith in God, I don't have faith in the enemy. Unless you want to be bipolar and then you're schizophrenic. If that's your name, well, get out of mine. I've dealt with that. I don't want to do that anymore. It's amazing what the enemy can do to you if you just let the door open. Have faith in God. The minute you can have faith in God, you must have faith in what he's already done for you and what he's doing for you and what he's going to do for you. He's already done it, so it's just a matter of revelation to you. Have faith in God. That's number one. Number two, I say to you, whoever says, are all of you encouraged now that you're going to go out tomorrow and you're going to start speaking to those mountains? I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, now you have to have something to say. My mountain! Wrong. Wrong. You may laugh, but you start listening to this with a spiritual ear and you're going to hear people say that all the time. God gave me this mountain to climb. No climbing. Shut up. If you're not going to get it out of the way, climb it. But at least accomplish something. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt. Now the enemy's job is to cause you to doubt. Please, admit it. Y'all sit there and look at me. Calf at a new gate. Don't do that. Listen and respond. Say, oh me, or that's for me. But say something. The enemy's going to come and suggest to you why your word will not work. I'll guarantee it. I'll do like Jesus. For assuredly, I say to you, he's coming. The minute you say, mountain, whatever that is, pain, whatever, be cast into the sea. You pick what you say. Pick it according to the word of God. Don't tell him, mountain, fall on stand. God's not in it. I think I said that too fast. Don't say, mountain, fall on that guy that I hate. He deserves it. That's next week's message. I promise you, it's already written. I don't usually do that, but I hope I get what I deserve. That's the title. Anyway, y'all can dream about that. Place the mountain. You be specific. Then the enemy's going to come and say, who do you think you are? You know you've tried this before and it doesn't work. You remember that last time you prayed for that thing and it didn't? Shut up. Start praising God. Start quoting the word. Start fighting the good fight, which is have faith in God. You say, sing, do whatever it takes, get a dance, whatever it takes to keep your faith where it's supposed to be. Growl. Go around growling. People think you're mad and it's just happy. Don't doubt, but believe. Listen, it doesn't say believe in God. It says have faith in God. Y'all see that? Is it still up there? I don't care. Listen to me anyway. It doesn't say believe God. It says have faith in God. Believe what you say. Have faith in God. Believe what you say. You want me to tell you, you want me to describe to you the biggest liar on the face of the earth? Who do you think the biggest liar on the face of the earth is? You, when you lie to you. The most severe lie that you can ever be told is the one you tell you. If you're 400 pounds and you stand in the mirror and call yourself skinny, you are the biggest liar on the face of the earth, and you will never believe anything you say. Therefore, you will never believe anything anybody else says, including God Himself. Tell yourself the truth. Know the truth, and it'll set you free. Know the truth. I may be fat now, but it's not going to stay. That's the truth. Not going to be here. Taking care of it. Trust God. Believe what you say. That'll be the hardest. Did you know that it's easier to trust God than it is to believe what you say? Anybody can trust God. That baby right there is trusting God. You don't even know it, it's trusting God. He's not laying awake worrying about the next meal. He knows it's close by. Very close by. Doesn't worry about it at all. Know that she came plumbed to feed. Isn't God good? Don't have to worry about it. Have faith in God. Trust what you say. Believe what you say. You hear me? And you'll have it. Forgive, or you won't be forgiven. Forgive, or you won't be forgiven. Don't even remember about the mountain if the mountain is you don't forgive. The first mountain you take care of is the one if you find any forgiveness, any resentment, any severe dislike. Christians pull all kinds of nonsense. Well, I don't hate him, I just don't like him a lot. Okay, well, Can we have a definition here, the difference, so you can explain it to me? For God so loved that He gave. Don't tell me you're like Christ if you're not willing to lay your life down for the good of somebody else. Even that person that stole from you, lied about you. You want your mountains removed? Start with that and watch the big ones go away. This is a little thing. Really, it is. You'd be surprised how God will help you when you decide to forgive. Oh, that's like me. I like that. I'm going to help. Send an angel. When you're in sorrow, send your angel when you're in real pain. You can be sweating drops of blood and the angel just comes and says, That spirit that's working in you to do the will of God will cause things to come out of your mouth that you couldn't believe. One of those gentlemen that was at my birthday party, a pastor, that decided that I didn't need to be there. He wrote me a really nice left foot of fellowship letter. Said, "We don't like you, get out." We moved to Denver, not by his hand, by trusting God. Went up there. We'd been back several times to take care of business, and we went back down to the house. We were going to be there 5 days, and 5.5 weeks later, I'm going, "God, what in the thunder is going on? I got things to take care of. I can't stay here. God wouldn't let us go." And he said, "Do you remember what I told you to do?" I don't want to hear that. I knew what he told me to do. He told me I had to go call that man and have dinner with him. You know how hard it is? Say yes. Okay. I went down, my wife's washing dishes, and I said, "We're going to have dinner with them tonight." "No, we're not." I remember that. Instantly, my wife don't do that. But instantly she said, "No, we're not." "Yes, we are." "No, we're not." "Yes, we are." "Here, watch." Pick the phone up, start. "You don't really." "Yes, we are." I should have told her then, "Don't give me no apple." We made that appointment. They were welcome to the appointment. Must be God. If they would have rejected it, shake the dust, move on. You did your part. You agreed to do what God asked you to do. We got there that night, very, very tense. I knew what I was capable of, and I was trying to make sure that didn't happen. And the man looked at me and he said, "Stan, can you tell me what's wrong?" "I might." He said, "Everything's gone." "Failure. Totally." And I said, "Do you remember when we were in your office one day and you pointed to me and you said, 'You are my heart, my eyes and my ears. I can't hear like you hear. I can't see like you see. You're here and you can help.'" And he said, you know what happens? "Well, you better watch what you say." He said, "What is wrong?" I said, in my nice, spiritual, easy way, I said, "You're a deaf, dumb, blind person and you're asking me this?" He went, "What?" I reminded him of what he said, and I said,